This episode of the Front Page Podcast is brought to you by voice-activated Sync, the easy-to-use in-car connectivity system. Sync gives you voice control of mobile phones and MP3 players and features audible turn-by-turn directions and 911 assist, available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
On Wednesday's Front Page, the oil spill in the Gulf is breaking up faster than anyone expected. The effect on marine life remains an open question. The House approved a bill to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, but Democrats were divided in the wake of leaked documents showing the Afghan conflict is not going well. And how many employees work for New York State? Turns out no one knows how big the state payroll really is. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the oil slick in the Gulf appears to be dissolving faster than expected. That's raising the tricky question of how fast the government should scale back its efforts. The effect on marine life is a mystery. Two preliminary government reports have found only low toxic concentrations deep below the surface, but the reports didn't answer a number of questions, including why oxygen levels in the water have declined. All this comes as BP is looking to a leaner future under its new chief executive, as Times reporter Jad Muawad explains.
Well, BP is hoping to turn the page really on the spill. So they announced the new leadership with Bob Dudley, who's a veteran from the company. They've also announced that they're provisioning $32 billion to pay for the spill. They've also outlined an asset sale of $30 billion over 18 months to fund the count and the cleanup. The company can certainly pay for all of these things. It's a company with $250 billion in assets. It's a way for them perhaps to kind of draw a line behind the spill. One notion that's interesting that's being floated around is for BP to revive the Amoco brand and the Amoco name. They bought Amoco in 1998, but rebranded every operation in the U.S. as BP. So maybe as a way of rebounding from this and perhaps retiring the BP name in the U.S. could be one way of turning the page on the spill.
Times reporter Jad Muawad. The House passed a $59 billion bill to continue financing America's two wars, including the troop surge in Afghanistan. The vote was 308 to 114. That pointed to the deepening divisions among Democrats who don't like the way things are going. President Obama said a leak of classified battle reports should not force a rethinking of the U.S. commitment to the war. Here's what he said in the Rose Garden at the White House.
While I'm concerned about the disclosure of sensitive information from the battlefield that could potentially jeopardize individuals or operations, the fact is, these documents don't reveal any issues that haven't already informed our public debate on Afghanistan. Indeed, they point to the same challenges that led me to conduct an extensive review of our policy last fall.
Media columnist David Carr says the leak was somehow different from what's come out in the past.
I think one of the things that's going on is scale. You have 92,000 documents. Mostly low-level field reports about the conduct of the war in Afghanistan, which, by the way, doesn't seem to be going very well. But, yeah, there's a weird kind of asymmetry to it where you have this advocacy organization that's kind of a dead drop out on the Internet. But then they pivot and partner with mainstream media organizations whose competitive instincts are engaged, and they all work to come up with great, great stories. In a way, it's a sort of a vindication of the power of storytelling. In other words, you can have all the data in the world, but in this case, they wanted people with relevant expertise and reporters to say what all that data meant.
Media columnist David Carr. Here in New York, Governor David Paterson called lawmakers back to work this week, saying they have to cut the size of the state's workforce. No one knows how big the state workforce really is. It turns out New York has not one, but two payrolls. The one controlled by the governor has about 131,000 employees. It's down about 25% from the 1980s. The governor doesn't control the second payroll. It's actually larger, with about 163,000 people at public authorities and agencies. So far, they've pretty much avoided retrenchment. New York City is paying $7 million to settle the Sean Bell case. He was shot by the police outside a club in Queens in 2006. The decision by the city came after 2 days of intense negotiations in federal court in Brooklyn. Bell's estate will get slightly less than half the money. Two friends of his who were injured will get the rest. That's a Russian police officer in one of two videos he addressed to Prime Minister Vladimir Putin. Alexei Dymovsky said the police are corrupt. He talked about bribes and payoffs along with illegal arrests to extort money. The videos were uploaded to YouTube and Russians couldn't take their eyes off them. Putin hasn't responded. Dymovsky was fired. He was also arrested, although the charges were later dropped. Now, Parliament is trying to stop internet videos like Dymovsky's. It's toughening penalties for officers who criticize their superiors. We'll go inside Wednesday's Times after this.
This episode of the Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Voice Activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system that gives you voice control of your Bluetooth-enabled mobile phone and most MP3 players. And Sync features turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, real-time traffic and weather, music with the sound of your voice, and your text messages read aloud. All hands-free so you can keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
Inside Wednesday's Times, China is pushing to end what's known as public shaming. The Ministry of Public Security has ordered the police to stop parading suspects in prostitution cases. Some local police departments have been posting photographs on the internet. The public response to that has been anger. New Yorkers will soon have to pay more for commuter trains that come less often and buses that run on shorter routes. The MTA is set to unveil a series of fare increases. They'll take effect on January 1st. A monthly Metro card for subways and buses could jump $15. It costs $89 now. Drivers who use easy passes could pay 10% more per trip, and tickets for commuter railroad passengers could cost 9.4% more. City Hall's move to force taxi owners to switch from gas guzzlers to hybrids was rejected by a federal appeals court. The court upheld a decision that said the city can't force cabs to go green because that amounted to mandating fuel economy and emission standards. The court said only the federal government can do that. The city hasn't decided whether to take the case to the Supreme Court in Washington. Experts say it's the largest unresolved Holocaust art claim. The heirs of a Hungarian banker are demanding that Hungary return $100 million worth of art they say is theirs. At issue are more than 40 paintings and sculptures by masters like El Greco and Monet. Most of them are in Hungarian museums. They were left there for safekeeping during World War II or put there after being stolen by the Nazis. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. You can send comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.